The tavern at the end of the high road smelled a spilled ale, wood smoke and other folks' ambitions. Horace sat with an ale the size of his ego and did what Horace did best, remind the room of what a hero looked like. His armour caught the firelight and made a second, smaller Horace on the wall that looked almost as pleased.
Easy on the shine, Horace. The Earth's jealous.
Jealous? Nay, Jasper. They're admiring. Look how the light plays. He struck a pose that required neither courage nor practicality, only room for bragging and the right sort of cape.
Admiration's a fine coin. We're spending it without earning the change.
Tig, guildmaster of the Minor Heroes Guild, filled the doorway with a face like thunder wrapped in peat smoke. His kilt rustled. He thrust a scroll across the table with the seriousness of a man about to ruin a perfectly good night.
The scroll hums, but so does the world. A wee riddle wrapped in ceremony, Horace. A task fit for someone who thinks applause is a currency.
Maeve, who read futures like others read tea leaves, tapped the parchment. Her eyes were kind and sharp in turns, and she smelled faintly of lavender and something prophetic.
There's an amulet in the Vault of Small Triumphs. The Amulet of Applause. Whoever claims it will be undeniably popular, according to the charter. Popular enough to be useful.
Horace's grin widened. Popular, then inevitable victory, then a statue. He could see the plaque already. He stood, nearly topping his chair. Point me the vault and stand back.
I shall march. I shall acquire. I shall be moderately inconvenienced. And then he cleared his throat as if his life were a heraldic procession. The tavern laughed, the type that squeezed ale through teeth.
Modest as ever.
Maeve's smile folded into something softer.
Mind the small print, Horace. Popularity in ancient law sometimes means carefully managed societal obligation. Also, the vault has riddles.
Horace cocked his head. Riddles were, to him, either a prelude to being complimented for solving them, or a nuisance invented by librarians with grudges. The guild left that night smelling of rain. Horace left smelling like hope and cheap polish. Maeve handed him a scrap of map, folded like a secret, and a warning threaded into her voice.
If the amulet sings, Horace, remember that not all songs are for the singer.
He tucked the map into his breastplate, as though padding his chest with destiny. Outside, the high road swallowed the tavern light and offered the world. The adventure had a jaunty step to it already, like someone tapping toes before they did something regrettable. Horace's party assembled under the market's banner like a mismatched coat of arms. Leona, a retired knight who liked rules more than revolutions, folded her gauntlet as if she were rearranging an argument. Toshi walked with a quiet precision as someone who had practiced not speaking and now applied it to the sword. Iris had sticky fingers and an open smile. She considered both virtues and valuables.
We go because the guild asked, Horace, not because your smile alone will shield us.
Leona's reprimand was the polite sort, sharp, impeccably tailored, damaging. Horace countered with a grin that had diplomacy and risk in equal measure.
The smile has historically consoled many a wounded populace.
Iris rolled her eyes and slipped a coin from a merchant's tray into Horace's hand. An old custom in markets to bless charm with coin. Horace pocketed it with the reverence of a man being bribed into heroism.
Kate, if you need to buy someone off with charm, at least use proper change.
Toshi produced a small brass token, worn at the edges. He'd found it on the road and said nothing, which Toshi considered the grown-up way to present surprises. The token bore three tiny notches, a hand, a mirror, an open mouth.
Three marks. A signpost. The vault answers in threes.
Leona read the map fragment Maeve had given them and found a matching sigil carved above a narrow arch. The path took them through the Archive of Minor Triumphs, an old building where the city kept awards nobody else wanted, like Best Use of a War Horn in a Barn and Most Polite Duelist. They traded jests with a vendor who sold authentic heroic capes, cheap fabric with a heroic scent, until dusk. As they moved, Horace rehearsed a speech for reclaiming the amulet, a line about duty, a pause for effect, and an anecdote that involved him wrestling a river.
Horace, the vault is older than your anecdotes. Manners will not open stone.
She slid the key across the table, an odd thing to carry, until she explained it belonged to her great-aunt's reluctant admirer, a locksmith who specialised in sentimental locks. The key had a tiny carved goose on its bow.
A goose key? How delightfully specific.
Iris smirked.
Aye, you'll need it, or someone less loud will need you to be quieter.
Horace tucked the key beside the brass token. The map promised riddles. The key suggested trickery. The token hummed like a distant chorus. Each piece might fit the other, or they might all ruin the nicest pair of boots than ever wore a hero.
The road narrowed to a concern, and then to a path that argued with the map. Somewhere in the hedges, something snickered. It was no the sympathetic sort of snicker. This was the sort that demanded a retort. Insulting sprites, small paper-winged things, took a liking to Horace.
They'll throw words that'll stick if you let them. Best answer with quiet or wit, not with that face.
The first sprite darted between Horace's eyebrows and called him Shiny Helmet in three different rhymes. Begone, you! His reply, as always, grew grander as it left his mouth. The sprites fed on big statements, gorged themselves, and grew bold.
Toshi stepped forward and sliced the air with the flat of his blade. The sprites laughed and dropped insults like confetti, harmless as wind if left alone.
He said simply. He turned the insult to its mirror and folded it. The sprite denied the feast a reaction, floundered. Iris tossed a handful of stale bread to distract those at ground level. They found a ruined milestone with a carved haiku, a riddle in three lines that matched the token's marks. Maeve's scrap had hinted at humility, reflection and speech. The milestone hinted at order, hand, mirror, mouth.
The solution required a small act. Take bread for the hungry, show the mirror to what needs seeing, and speak for those without voice.
Looks easier when someone else says it, doesn't it?
Horace realised the heroics were unexpectedly democratic. He did the first thing a true hero rarely chooses. He fed, he reflected, he listened. He felt his chest tighten at the humility, like a glove too tight.
You did well.
The road notices such thriftiness strangely.
They received, tucked into the milestone's hollow, a tiny brass token shaped as a goose's wing, the missing piece for Leona's key and a fragment of the vault's entrance cipher. Horace held the piece and for once questioned how much applause he actually needed. The sprites had quieted. The road pleased. Let them pass.
The Vault of Small Triumphs looked smaller than the map made out.
Its arch held a carved face that seemed to be mildly judging everyone who passed. Above the great door were three carved niches, a hand, a mirror, an open mouth. The key, the goose bow, and the token fit like a clumsy but earnest handshake.
Riddle locks prefer small, honest answers. Pride bangs, humility fits.
Leona set the goose key into the lock, turned it. Toshi positioned the brass token where the mirror notch was. Horace, for reasons that would later be turned into a ballad sung only by those with questionable taste, placed the coin Iris had slipped him onto the mouthplate.
The door sighed open. Inside, dust danced like an audience of ghosts. Shelves housed trophies, both noble and ridiculous. Badges that read, "Participation, Minor Bridge Collapse, Year 2." A cracked lute that had once accompanied a heroic lullaby. And, in the centre, upon a velvet stump, the Amulet of Applause.
It lay like a thimble of sunlight, ringed with tiny engraved faces that seemed to smile when Horace leaned in. Around it was a low circle of inscribed runes. Maeve's voice echoed back in Horace's memory.
If the amulet sings, Horace, remember that not all songs are for the singer.
A charm that draws praise is a tool and a trap. Decide carefully.
Horace reached out. The amulet hummed, and absorbedly, the room provided its first applause. Soft, polite, and oddly bemused.
At last! As his fingers touched the chain, a small chorus in his head began. Voices saying he was brave, handsome, excellent by curtains. It was intoxicating, and precisely the sort of thing that had derailed him before.
It likes ya. It likes your smug face. It counts for something, I suppose.
Tig's look was steady.
Many things like Horace. Stones like echoes and cats like warmth. The test is whether Horace can like other folk more than the sound of his own applause.
The amulet pulsed. A faint trap snapped in the floor and a chorus of metal fans swelled. The vault loved ceremony and disliked indecision. Leona stepped forward, steel at the ready, but Horace stilled.
The amulet's song promised a simpler route to success. Take, return, celebrate. It did not mention the ledger the guild kept of obligations owed by the popular. The choice hung like an exclamation mark. Horace's hand hovered over glitter and consequence. They were not alone. Connor, an opportunist who tended to call himself practical, had followed like a shadow with better posture. He'd wanted the amulet for what it could buy, and because a man like Connor believed the world owed him the louder applause.
Hand it over, Horace. We can share the fame. Split the favour, split the coin.
Connor's grin suggested mathematics from which generosity had been subtracted. It belongs to the guild. Well, to whomever the guild declares. Connor lunged. The skirmish was brief and noisy. Iris darted, Toshi blocked, and Horace attempted a heroically spinning manoeuvre that ended with him on his knees, the amulet's chain around his hand. Something happened then that no one had advertised in the guild charter. The amulet woke fully. It filled the vault with a swell of imagined applause, so convincing that the floor trembled. Statues leaned forward to watch. Even Connor paused, dazzled. Maeve, who had been watching like a midwife to destinies, stepped close and whispered over the din.
True praise asks not to be taken, but to be earned. If it can be bought with theft and bluster, it's not worth our ears.
Horace felt the amulet tug at a need in his chest.
It wanted to be worn, sang of walking into crowds and having them call his name. He tasted the idea like honey. Connor reached and Hornace's hand closed, instinct choosing which sound it wanted most.
Then, in the middle of the ceremony of applause, Horace did a foolishly brave thing. He did exactly the opposite of what the amulet promised. He spoke not to the room, but for Iris, who had a sister and no song.
If I wear this, it will sing for me. But I'd rather sing for someone who has no voice at all.
The amulet shivered. The applause faltered. Connor's greed curdled into confusion. For a breath, the vault was quiet enough to hear the drip of water. Maeve's face was proud and absurdly pleased.
Aye, there it is, a petty miracle. Horace chooses others' applause over his own, for now.
The amulet dimmed. It did not break, but it quieted, as if offended and denied. And that quiet was its punishment. Connor scowled. Iris whooped with mischief, and Horace felt lighter and strangely bankrupt in the best way.
They returned to the guild like people who had survived something mildly inconvenient and slightly noble. Word had already begun to smear itself through the lanes like honey on toast. Horace had faced the vault. He had touched the amulet of applause. He had, somehow, left it quiet.
You could have taken it, lad. The ledger would have forgiven and called it an honest oversight rather than theft.
Tag's face was a mixture of reproach and warmth. He had the look of a man who'd wrangled both youth and fate on bad days.
I thought that was the point, to make a name for the guild. But I thought of applause and it tasted small.
Leona folded her arms, pleased in the way of someone counting victories by their weight rather than their shine.
A small taste of humility, Horace. Keep it short, keep it steady. We'll need it.
They used the amulet not as a trophy, but as a ledger. It would be lent to those who did public good in a month when the city's needs were greatest. It was an arrangement that pleased the guild's ethics committee and made merchants less indignant.
And if you ever get the urge to be vain again.
She produced a tiny trinket Maeve had given Horace, a pebble that caused a single genuine compliment to bubble out of him once a fortnight. Maeve's idea of mercy was oddly small and practical.
A nudge, not a crown. Heroes do better with reminders than with coronets.
Horace laughed, real and thin as the coin Iris had given him. He'd expected triumph to fit like a new cloak, and discovered instead that it fit like a belt tightened by saints. When the guild held a small ceremony to announce the amulet's new custodial terms, the crowd clapped politely because Horace had earned reasons to be applauded. He'd chosen his friends over the easy sound. Outside the guild, someone had carved a very small plaque in the paving stones.
Not completely ridiculous.
It was modest, slightly mossy, and crucially true. Horace pocketed the pebble and for the first time practiced saying thank you and meaning it. The pebble occasionally sparked a compliment that surprised him into being useful rather than loud.
That was the sort of magic that lasted. Quiet, useful, and slightly inconvenient.
Maeve watched him like someone who'd sewed a seam and checked her work.
Oi, keep your ears open, Horace. The world's applause is fickle. Your friends are not.
He looked at them. Leona's steady presence, Tag's steady scolding, Iris's bright trouble, Toshi's quiet bleed, and felt the shape of true praise. Earned, given, and worth more than any solo shout.
Back at the tavern, the light burned low and good. Jasper set their usual tankards down, as if nothing much extraordinary had happened at all. Horace tipped his head, the pebble in his pocket nudged him, and for once, the compliment that came out was true.
Jasper, your stew keeps better secrets than most councillors. Thank you.
Jasper blinked as if the world had rediscovered polite company.
Oi, lad, it's good to have a brave heart return with a soft mouth.
They laughed until the room shook politely. Outside, the city kept its noisy life, but within that little circle, the loudest voice was gentleness. Maeve stirred her tea like a woman who'd read many endings and liked this one well enough to keep.
Tag's eyebrows threatened to shadow his face, but his smile warmed the place more than any torch.
Not all of us walk away with trophies. Some of us walk away with bitter question asking.
Iris slipped a small note into Horace's hand, a doodle of a goose and a tiny grin. She winked.
Keep the pebble. Use it to say what matters, or to bribe the bard if he forgets the good bits.
Horace kept his hand over the pebble, and no statue rose for him. No brass plaque burgeoned into grandeur. But when word spread of the amulet's new stewarding, people lined up, not to flatter him, but to ask for help. Sometimes they'd clap him on the shoulder and mean it.
That sound grown on him like a sensible habit. He had sought the shine and found a quieter light. That of friends who would tell him when his polish was excessive and when it was worth keeping.
The amulet of applause remained behind glass most days, and in hands of good projects when needed. Horace's vanity learned to be useful instead of loud. It still flickered, of course. Old habits have stubborn embers.
One fortnight later, the pebble nudged, and Horace turned, compliments spilling into the room. It was imperfect and earnest, and by the tavern standards, heroic enough.
Leona, your steadiness has the honour of an anchor. Thank you.
Leona rolled her eyes the way only a person who'd been honest all her life could.
Don't get sappy, Horace. Keep your armour and your head clear.
They all laughed. Outside, the rain eased into applause of its own, soft, consistent, and most importantly, from the sky rather than the stage. Maeve toasted with her tea.
May the songs you collect be for others, Horace, and may they be sung when they're deserved.
He lifted his cup, and the room joined in. Not a chorus made of magic, but a round of people who had seen one man's vanity turned into something slightly wiser. The city had not been saved in the way ballads prefer.
It had been nudged, helped, and tended. Things that mattered more than marble. Horace went to bed that night with a pebble in his pocket and a grin that felt less like armour and more like warmth.